You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Each and every day here to start the second hour on the Jeff Calkins Show, we welcome Chris Harrington to the program. George, let's fire it up. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Rumors by Timex Social Club, a key jam from my middle school years in honor of, or maybe it was earlier or later, somewhere when I was in school, in honor of the start of NBA free agency. It's rumor season.
It is funny how there are certain songs from your youth you can pinpoint, like, the first time you listen to it, and then there's, like, other stuff where it's like, I kind of remember when that was. Like, I know, like, the actual vibe of when that was, but it's, I don't know. I've always found that interesting about how certain songs, like, you can specifically pinpoint. It's not even necessarily, it's like, oh, well, I like this song better. It's like, nah, it's just, it's weird how memory works like that. All right, over at dailymemphian.com, Chris is a fabulous piece that you can go and read. What are the Grizzlies doing this summer? Just listen to them. So I want to get into that. But first, I know it's something we've probably talked about multiple times, but I think as we start today, can you set an actual agenda of, to the best of your information, knowledge, or even speculation, how do you think the order of operations is going to go for the Grizzlies?
Well, there's a difference between the NBA stuff. We were talking about this before we came on the air. The NBA stuff has gotten super complicated, too complicated for most fans, maybe in a counterproductive way. This Grizzlies summer, they may not necessarily do a lot, but it is maybe the most complicated summer they've ever had because they're right on the edge around the salary cap line, and there's all these things they have to do to maneuver below and above and do it in the right order. There's all this stuff going on. And I understand it all, but I think fans may be weary of it. But to answer your question about the order, there's a difference between the order in which things get reported and the order in which things actually happen.
Okay.
In terms of process with the league, things become official. And it's going to be really important, more than likely, for the Grizzlies this summer to have the correct sequence of transactions. Whatever order in which, like, things pop up on Twitter or get reported.
Right.
That's separate from the actual order in which they must do things with the league. And they're in this weird thing where it's going to be very important for Zach Kleiman and his staff, whatever they're doing, to order the transactions properly. Because you can take the same bundle of stuff. If you do it in the wrong order, you can't do it. You have to do it in a certain order for it to happen. And that's because the Grizzlies, if they're going to do the renegotiation and extend with Jaren Jackson, they have to create cap space to do that, to renegotiate the contract, right?
Yep.
So the first thing you have to do, again, I'm talking about process order, not report order. The first thing you have to do is clear the additional cap space. So whatever transactions you do that clear space, that has to be the first thing that gets processed. So whether that's a trade that moves out salary or whether that's you waive and stretch a player, whatever you're doing to clear space, the first thing you have to process is the transactions that clear the cap space. Once you process that, you renegotiate and extend Jaren Jackson Jr.'s contract. That's the second thing you have to do. When you do that, again, I'm assuming they're going to do this, but when you do that, that gets you to the salary cap line. You've cleared cap space and you've filled it back up with the Jaren contract. Now you're at the salary cap line. At that point, you can go over the line to do other things, but only certain other things. You can go over the line to re-sign Santi Aldama because he's your own free agent, and you have bird rights for him, so you can go over the salary cap to sign him. You have, in free agency, the $8.8 million room exception. You can sign anyone for up to that amount on a starting salary and break it up against over multiple players. Or you can do trades where you bring back more salary in a trade. Those are the three mechanisms they will have in addition to, like, minimum salaries. Those are the three mechanisms they will have to add salary above the salary cap. But the first thing they got to do, if they're going to do the Jaren deal, is clear out the cap space. And the second thing they have to do is fill it back up with Jaren. And then at that point, you can do this other stuff. So I hope that was quasi-clear.
No, that's perfect for me. I guess the question, and I know you're probably not the person that can answer this because you're not involved with the negotiation, but the one thing that I've wondered in my back of my mind is, are we confident that when they do that process, which is clear the space,
right,
and then the number and the sheet that they put in front of Jaren, are we confident that everyone goes, okay, cool?
I don't know that to be a fact at all. Zach Kleiman has said publicly now that they do want to do that deal with Jaren. Like, there's the school of thought where you could say, well, we don't want to do that. We can wait till next summer because we have him under contract next season, and we'll still be able to offer more money than anyone else. We want to wait. They have said publicly they don't want to wait, that they want to do this deal. So that's one data point. They've said publicly this is what they want to do. My educated guess, and I want to emphasize both words, it's a guess, but it is an educated guess. I'm not totally spitballing, but also don't know. My educated guess is that they believe that they're going to get that deal done. And if they believe they're going to get that deal done, I would hope that they have some basis for that belief beyond their own spitballing.
No, I'm with you because George was asking me this last segment, and you tell me if you think my interpretation's incorrect, because oftentimes, like, I'll see things that make sense in my head of, okay, well, they did this because of that, but it's not necessarily, like, it's me speculating to a certain degree.
Right.
But my belief was, if they were truly worried about getting that deal done, I'm not convinced that they trade Bane.
So, okay, I don't really agree with you on that.
All right.
What I'll say with the Bane trade is, the Bane trade is a move on its own that Clark started to clear two different paths. It cleared a path towards what I think is the plan. What they want to do is reshape the team around John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. with a different style play and different players. So the Bane trade, the intent of the Bane trade was to start clearing that path. On the other hand, if you didn't get a deal done with Jaren and you did get to the point you wanted to just blow it up and start over, like, that Bane trade would have been the first move in that anyway. And so it started to clear that path too. I think they're aware that trade was conducive to both of those paths, but I think they did it with the intent of that first path, which was to bring back Jaren Jackson and keep John Morant and reshape the team around those players.
Okay, so let's say they get the deal done, because, that seems to be the intention. They've been very clear on that,
yep.
And I've got zero problem with that. I don't think you would operate like this.
The general theme of the column I wrote this morning was, like, actually believe what they're sitting to telling you.
No,
I agree. I think they're being pretty candid about it as much as they think they can be.
No, I totally agree. I think you were spot on in saying, like, sometimes just listen to what they say. And I think oftentimes, though, the problem is, I have found one of the frustrating aspects for me is when Zach is able to speak and the right people are there asking the questions.
Right.
I think it tends to be pretty good.
Yeah,
the problem is it's so few and far between.
You do have to listen closely because, like, he's a lawyer and he's trying to be very careful in what he says. But I do think, even more so lately than maybe even before, I think he's tried to be very as candid as he thinks he can be in terms of what they're trying to do.
Okay, so I guess the thing for me is, okay, you get Jaren done. We'll get to Santi in a minute.
Yep.
But you have the core of what he said, which is we want to build around Ja, we want to build around Jaren, yep, and reshape the team in that image.
Yep.
Totally fine, makes all the sense in the world to me.
Yep.
What would have to happen for you around January or February to go, all right, we did create the possibility to pull the plug. Like, how bad does it have to get?
I don't think it's about, like, necessarily one lost performance this season. I mean, if they're, like, last in the West, that's a different thing. But I think another sort of point I'm trying to make is that I think they see this as an effort that doesn't take place entirely around one summer. I think it's like a three-transaction window. This summer, trade deadline, next summer, until you, like, get the ship completely turned in the direction you want to go. And I don't think they want to, like, miss the playoffs next season, but I don't think they're unwilling to do so if that's a byproduct of, like, reshaping the team over the course of a year. I think the real key that might change their direction is not one, although it's related to one loss, it's Ja Morant. I think this is a real show-and-prove season for Ja. With Bane out, there's even going to be more usage, more focus. He's going to be more the engine of the team than ever. And I think if you're going to build a team, you know, over the next 5 years that's reshaped around Ja and Jaren, they got to believe in the Ja and Jaren part of it. And that means Ja Morant staying on the floor, and they play 82 games, but more, you know, play more than five games in a row at some point, right? Stay on the floor and get back to all NBA level player. They want to see the Ja Morant that's reasserted himself, I believe. They haven't said this. They want to see the Ja Morant that has reasserted himself as a top 15 player in the league and then say, okay, he's 26 years old. He's the top 15 player. Jaren just missed all NBA. We can build a team around these two guys. I think Ja's got to show something this season.
No, I'm with you completely because, listen, I was someone who was very critical of team effort and what I perceived as a lack of seriousness of being a professional last year.
Right.
I do think, though, when you take a step back and you analyze, okay, what have they done? They are at the point where it's time for these two guys. And, like, listen, I think it kind of stunk that you had to let Dez go, but I kind of got it.
They didn't have to let Dez go. I want to be clear. It was a choice. I think it's a rational, reasonable choice, but they could have chosen not to let him go, and that could have been reasonable, too.
Yeah, I guess the way, and this is what I was mentioning to you sometimes in my head, it's like, okay, I view it's like, maybe it's a worldview problem, but it's like, I think we've gotten to the point where it's going to be very difficult to keep three high-paid guys, and you are going to have to pick two, and I think they picked the appropriate two.
Well, I think especially this summer, they were going to be really hemmed in. Like, if they had kept Ja, Dez, Jaren together, especially once Jaren missed the All-NBA and they're trying to do the renegotiation, they would have had very, very little ability to do anything else around the team.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's a better point. When Jaren doesn't make All-NBA, doesn't win Defensive Player of the Year, and you have to have the mechanics of, okay, we've got to do this under the current contract constructs.
Right.
That, to me, made sense. But we are now at the point where it's like, hey, big guy, you want to show, like, this is your team.
Talk about Ja.
Yes, with Ja. I guess. Here you go. This is your team.
Yep.
Like, here you go.
We made a coaching change. We have a coach who wants to build his team around you
and your image.
And your strengths. And we're gonna put a defensive infrastructure around you. It's really just sort of Ja and Edie in some ways. Like, we're going to build a style play that's sort of rooted in Ja and Zach Edie, and we're going to put better defensive infrastructure because we know Ja Morant and Zach Edie are both locked into single positions with some defensive limitations. And so Desmond Bane gave you a third player like that, and they're basically saying, we can't have any other guys like that. If we're going to have Ja and Edie as sort of cornerstones, Jaren already gives us all the flexibility in the world and all the defense, but we got to have more length and more athleticism and more defensive versatility around this. And that when you had Bane in conjunction with Morant and with Zach, I've made this point in the show before, they were locked into a situation where they felt like they had to start a small forward who guarded point guards. Dylan Brooks, Marcus Smart, Jalen Wells, like over and over again, right? And so they're trying to like give themselves more flexibility.
That hasn't really changed.
Well, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, if he's starting at the two, or Jalen Wells is starting at the two, there'll be a two guard who can guard, you know, points, right?
The point is you're still going to have somebody else.
No, you're still going to hide Ja Morant, but you're not having to scale down from 3-1 all the time. You'll scale down from 2-1, and, you know, it gives you a little bit more flexibility.
Okay, so then I think for me, the other aspect of this is with Santi Aldama.
Yep.
Because I think a lot of people's interpretation from when Zach talks is, okay, it seems like they want to bring Santi back. Is that a fair interpretation?
I think the tea leaves are somewhat harder to read on that front. I felt that way pretty strongly early in the season. Late in the season when, like, his defense is kind of lackluster and, like, you know, Bane's yelling at him on the bench and I could detect other people in the organization. I just Bane being like, I wish this guy would be a little bit more physical. I started to wonder about it. But the reality is he's a 24-year-old 7-footer who has dribble pass shoot skills. He has, like, while you would like for him to be more physical, he's not shied away from playoff basketball. He scored 23 in that game four. He went down shooting, you know?
No, I mean, in that Lakers series, like, I get it.
He was the leading scorer in the game six where they got blown off the floor. He's been really good in these high-level international-like tournaments.
Yeah.
So he's a guy who is a gamer. You'd like to see him be more of a gamer on the defensive end, but on the offensive end, at least he's a gamer. He's talented, and so I think more than likely they will be a new deal for Santi Aldama and the Grizzlies, 3 or 4 year deal. I think that is likely. That doesn't mean he'll serve it all out. He immediately becomes a tradable contract, but I think it is likely they'll just re-sign Santi.
Okay, and so then also in your piece, we now have a very clean, and thank you for this, depth chart view.
Yep.
And so I was taking a look at it. It seems pretty obvious at this point, when healthy, these five guys are for sure going to be out there. Ja, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Jalen Wells, Jaren Jackson Jr., and then whenever Zach Edey gets there.
Yep.
That seems obvious to me.
Yep.
Scottie Pippen, given his contract, it seems like...
I think Scottie Pippen, to me, is a sneaky, like, six-man of the year candidate this season.
I think particularly...
Because I think the way Isolo is going to use him, I think he could be, like, yeah.
I think you saw... Like, to me, it's like, okay, what can we actually take from what we saw from Isolo? Because it's a little unclear to me, but... The way he used Scottie Pippen seems to be something you can say, like he believes in that.
Right.
All right, Vince Williams Jr.
I don't. I worry. Worried the right word. I don't know. I think I may be a bigger on higher on Vince right now than the organization is. I've been down this road before with Anthony Melton. So we'll see. I'm worried that Vince won't get enough of a chance because I think what he did 2 years ago is real.
I don't know if worried's the right part. I guess though, where I have a little bit of confidence is. The guys behind him, if he really does come back fully healthy, if I'm correct in that I suspect that much of Vince's struggles last year were injury-related, health-related,
right.
I can toss that year aside and go, lost year. If he comes back healthy, I think...
If he comes back, we got to get to that
correct.
Point.
Well, 100%. Yeah. Okay, we know Coward's going to be on the team.
100%. He'll be in the rotation, whether he'll play 25 minutes or 15. I mean, he's a rookie, who knows, but they have a lot invested in that, clearly.
Okay, and if you were betting today, Santi would be in the rotation when they start.
If he's on the team, he's absolutely in the rotation, so yeah.
Okay. Where does Brandon Clark fit in?
Well, Brandon Clark, I mean, with Zach Edey out to start the season, Brandon Clark is going to be in the rotation, but Brandon Clark's not going to play more than like 18 minutes a game because he does it, and he's going to miss at least 20 games. And so I think... And then, you know, Brandon Clark's really good, but there's a limitation there. And the question is, like, can you get to the playoffs? If you get to the playoffs with Brandon Clark, like, in a role, he's missed the last two playoffs you've played, you know?
To me, he's always been, like, you see it more in college baseball than you do in Major League Baseball. But, like, college baseball where they have closers that oftentimes go 2 to 3 innings.
Right.
And they usually have one pitch that's unhittable. It's, like, usually something that just absolutely shreds your elbow. And that kind of lends itself... But, like, the guy can't be hit, and then they'll trot him out there, you know, 10 times a year, and then you get to, like, the end of the season, and his elbow's shredded. And so, like, I've always just kind of viewed it as, like, when he's out there, he's really good, but you know it can't be, like, this isn't a starter, this isn't, like, it's always that weird specialist.
I think at this point, Brandon Clark has more value to the Grizzlies, both on the court and off the court, than he does as a trade chip, given he's multiple years left on the deal, and he's heavy with the injury history. So I just assume Brandon Clark will be back, and when he's healthy, he's playing, and when he's not, you know.
Okay, and so then we start to get to this situation of, okay, it seems to me like the tea leaves and the signaling has been there that the Grizzlies would prefer Cole Anthony to play for someone else, but what if you get to the spot where you can't make a deal?
So they have to, let's rewind back to the beginning
here, all right,
where we talk about the order of operations. The first thing you do is you have to clear the space to do the Jaren deal. Well, that's the first thing you have to do is clear the space. And right now they don't have the space. By my math, because they added salary. They added salary in the Bane trade by taking the first round pick.
Yeah.
They added more salary by moving up in the draft.
Right.
Right. And so right now they're like, I think $4 million under the salary cap. And I think they probably get to.
George, didn't you just look it up? I think it's, four.
Something like that.
Four with the room exception. Yeah. I think we said it was 12-ish.
Well, no. Room exception is 8.8. I'm saying that's unrelated to this. We're talking about where they are in terms of the salary cap. The Santi Aldama cap hold is $11.9 million.
All right.
So right now you're under the salary cap by $3 or $4 million, and you have two buckets on the books. You have the Cole Anthony contract, which is $13.1 million.
Yep.
That's on your books, still under the salary cap. And you have the Santi Aldama cap hold, which is $11.9. That's a fictional number that's on the books until either you sign Santi, in which case it's replaced by the actual contract, or you let him go, in which case it all disappears, right?
Okay.
Right now it's $11.9 million. So you're under the salary cap by three or four. You need to get probably to $13 million under, 12 to 13, to do the Jaren deal. So you have the Cole Anthony contract at $13.1.
Yep.
You can make that disappear. That gets you there. You have the Santi Aldama cap hold, where in theory, I don't think this is going to happen, but in theory, you could just let Santi sign with another team and free up that cap hold and boom, use that money to re-sign Jarrett. I don't think they want to do that. You have the Conchar contract now, which you could make that go poof, that 6.2. It's not enough anymore because you've added this other salary. So could you do, if you were able to get rid of the Conchar money, which is 6.2, and let's say Jay Huff at 2.3,
all right,
you get rid of both of those, maybe that gets you there and you can get the deal without having to move Cole Anthony. I think the fact that they've added money in the draft with the Cedric Howard thing has shifted it from a John Conchar situation to a Cole Anthony situation. That is now the piece that you have to move out to free up the space for Jaron. I think they are looking to try to move that contract into some other team's salary cap or exception for, you know, to make it disappear. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that.
Well, that was going to be my question. What's the level of difficulty?
I have been hinting for the last week or so, just because as I game it out, I get to the same conclusion. And I don't think it's a conclusion they want to reach, but I think they may be forced there. The fail-safe switch is you can waive Cole Anthony and use what's called the stretch provision in the NBA, where he is $13.1 million guaranteed for one more season. There's a second year that's team option. You could just make that. You just decline that. So $13.1 million for one season. The way the stretch works is you can take that money and stretch it out over three seasons. And so you're still paying him the money.
Right.
But instead of paying him 13.1 this season, it would be whatever it is, 4.3, 4.3, 4.3. And that would clear close to $9 million immediately, and that might be enough to get a deal done. I don't think they want to do that. But I think they probably want to do that more than they want to, like, give up draft picks to make the Cole Anthony deal go away.
See, to me, it's not a question of whether or not you want to do it. My question is, will you have to do it?
I think they're going to find themselves having to do it. I think they're going to work through other options that aren't going to materialize. They're going to say, okay, open up the switch and hit the red button and, like, boom, disappear Cole Anthony, or stretch him out. You don't disappear him. You stretch him out, and now we can move forward. It will be an unsatisfying way to get to that number, but I think that may be what
I mean, happens. Oftentimes, I think that was kind of the bigger takeaway for me is when you're watching this weekend and then you're starting to read up on all of free agency, like, I think there's going to be a lot of deals where if you can figure out ways to get your own guys to take maybe less money per year, but you give them more guaranteed money, I just don't think it's going to be like this transaction of player movement bonanza that I think some people were wanting, because it seems to me like everyone feels like they're just looking at this balance sheet going, like, we got some interesting questions and we don't really know how we answer them.
I mean, NBA transactions have become heavily, heavily financial. The roster management rules are financial rules, and that's the thing. Would I prefer not to have to talk about how much money people make? Sure. But, like, that literally that is how the system works.
Well, yeah, because it's always been, I don't know, I felt like it's always a little disingenuous. Like, I always loved when on NBA Twitter, everyone would immediately see a deal and be like, overpay. It's like,
All right.
But, like, I also recognize, well, there are other aspects that go into it, but it does feel like now more than ever, everyone is paying attention to, and I don't know if it's because of the last two playoff runs when you realize the teams that largely were able to weather this entire storm of 82 games plus the playoffs. Like, it feels like everyone is recognizing more than ever, like, I can't just have three guys and fill out the rest. Like, I've got to have quality guys all the way probably to eight or ninth down. And, like, I just keep wondering if that's what we're watching in real time.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot to that. And I think, you know, you look over the course of a season, the teams that are super top heavy really sort of started to putter out. You know,
yes.
You think about the Lakers, you think about the Nuggets.
The Suns even before that.
Yeah, you think about that Knicks team that did get to the conference finals, but then, like, you know, they're going against that Pacers team that's just better and more athletic at that 6, 7, 8, 9 spots in the lineup and that kind of thing. Yeah.
No, like, that just seems to me to be where, now it's easier said than done. Like, I think oftentimes it does a disservice to teams like the Pacers and to the Thunder. Like, yes, the Thunder had the advantage that two of their top five guys are on rookie deals, so that gave them some flexibility, but, like, their ability to hit on picks that they realize, like, we're going to have to do this cheaply.
Right.
And their ability to identify the right guys and hit on them. And the same thing with the Pacers. Like, they figured out ways to turn certain assets into, more players. And I think that's actually a really difficult thing to do, because when you start to look at, well, if you could just trade this one guy for a couple of these guys, and it's like, well, not everybody's willing to do that. Like, it becomes very, very complicated to me.
Yeah. And so, you know, we'll see where the Grizzlies go. I mean, you know, they've done them. It's a mixed record to this point, but when you get a guy like Scottie Pippen on the contract he's on, you find Jalen Wells in the late second, you know, I think it'll be important for them to, like, and maybe Cedric Howard is it, but to find some other guys who are going to exceed, you know, exceed their contract, you know.
Is there a way to know in year one if, like, Cedric Howard's a hit?
Well, I mean, if he comes out and it's just awesome from the jump, then yeah, but I don't think that's a reasonable expectation. I would be looking at more red flags than proof, you know? I mean, I go back to, I don't know whether he'll play in the summer league because he's coming off this injury. He has not been ruled out, but he has not been ruled in either. And so, I don't know how much tell you can get, but sometimes when a guy is just awful immediately, it's a little bit of a red flag. Now, sometimes guys bounce up, bounce back. Like, Trae Young was pretty bad his first few summer league games. But a lot of times, guys just lay an egg, like Hashim Thabeet, for instance.
Yeah.
And it's a real, like, warning sign.
No, I've always felt like you can put too much stock into someone playing well in summer league.
Right.
But you should pay attention if someone is, like, noticeably bad, because it's not like the athleticism is going to get worse.
He is the kind of player, though, that if he does play well, I think it's a pretty good indicator. Because the guys that sort of that pop in summer league and then don't amount to much tend not to be players like him. They tend to be older players, more pure guard players. Your Josh Selby and Russ Smith of the world.
It feels,
you know,
like the undersized guard that plays hard.
Yeah.
Like, those guys just tear up summer league.
It's
like,
just making shots.
They know, like, how to play basketball. Right, they know how to manipulate a defense. Like, those are the guys. Okay, and then I guess the other aspect of this is, how many ways can they really address, like, the front court this summer?
We haven't talked a lot about that $8.8 million room exception. That is, unless something dramatic, unexpected happens, that is the primary mechanism they're going to have to add someone from the outside. It could also be a trade. Like, when I talk about making the Cole Anthony deal maybe go away, that does leave the Conchar deal there, which is 6.2, and as NBA trade rules go, you can trade that up for up to, like, a $13 million something. So even if they have to make one of those contracts go away, the Anthony or the Conchar, they'll have the other one probably as a trade chip to match salaries. But I think that $8.8 million room exception, the Grizzlies have not, under Kleiman's tenure, he signed Tyus Jones with an exception his first summer on the job. It hasn't done it since. And I think that'll change this year. I think they're going to sign somebody from the outside with some or all of that. And I think it could be someone who steps right into the rotation. You know, I look at the center position. I don't know if they'll do that or not, but, like, with Luke Kornet in Boston, Clint Capella in Atlanta, De'Ron Sharp in Brooklyn, there are guys out there who are now unrestricted free agents who I think can step in and be the starting center while Edie's out, that maybe you try to go after.
I'm sure it's a name the internet's going to latch onto, but based on what we're talking about, I've never put a ton of stock into it. But what did you think of Ayton essentially agreeing to the buyout and then wanting to get a free agent?
So the Grizzlies' take on that, to me, I think the Grizzlies will have no interest in DeAndre Ayton, but I think it shifts the center market. So if he signs with the Lakers, as a lot of people are speculating, well, that means whoever the Lakers were going to sign before he was available is now going to go somewhere else. And so I think there's a trickle-down effect that could help a team like the Grizzlies who's looking to sign a center but wasn't looking to sign DeAndre Ayton.
What did you make of LeBron? I can't believe this. He chose to opt into $53 million and then also, I think, rip the roster at the same time?
He always has to leave the drama hanging out there a little bit, you know, leave his options open, right? I talk about the Desmond Bane deal carving different paths. He's carving different paths. They could take different routes.
Do you buy into the possibility that he's doing all this to, like, you know, set up a return to Cleveland one more time?
It would not shock me. I'm certainly not predicting that, but I feel like LeBron James is not going to go quietly. And so whatever the last season's going to be, I think we got to know about it before it starts so that he gets the retirement tour, like the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like doing a ceremony at every building he goes to. Whether that happens with the Lakers or Cleveland or this year or next year, I got to think it's going to be a whole production that is, like, lined up and ready, you know, new product launch, basically.
No, I'm with you on that. It's also why I weirdly don't think this is it.
It might not be. He may be one more year after this.
Is he really going to leave Bronny?
Well, at some point, sure.
Like, that my pipe dream would be the Cavs trying to work out a deal, and then the one thing is that the Cavs won't agree to take Bronny.
I'm envisioning some kids' movie where, like, it's like the eagle and the baby eagle, and they're flying together, and you don't want to leave the baby eagle until the eagle can fly on its own. But I don't know if you ever get to that point with Bronny in terms of an NBA career. Like, can you ever, like, just go away and let him fly on his own? I think he's going to get grounded.
I really don't think right now it's about winning for LeBron. I think it's about like career achievement. Like I think if it were solely based on one last chance, because like the other thing is, I like you said, I listen to Kleiman. I oftentimes listen to LeBron. Yeah. Like when he's doing the show with Steve Nash, and like now he's trying to diminish that what a championship means to a player's accomplishments. And he's basically telling, he's like, I want individual records to be part of like the legacy and whatnot. It's like, okay.
Well, the one thing about Luka being there, unless it makes them a clear, like a very strong, you know, contender to win the title, which I'm not sure it does, it kind of takes away from the focus on LeBron a little bit. Does he want that focus off of him, you know?
Yeah, I will say, I thought they paired up better than I. It was smoother earlier than I thought.
I'm not talking about on the court. I'm talking about the public, like the Laker world focus. Are people in the Laker world more excited about the future of Luka than celebrating LeBron, you know, while he's here?
Yeah, I can buy that, because I also, though, weirdly, I think Luka's fine having LeBron be like the glitz. I don't think Luka necessarily seeks that out. Like, I think he realizes it's part of the territory, but like, I never got the sense that like Luka is the one that's like, I want every product launch to be centered around me. I've never really gotten that. All right, anything you think that I've missed that we need to discuss?
You know, there's a rumor popping around this weekend about the Grizzlies being interested in Ty Jerome. I am skeptical on that. This came from Mark Stein. Yeah. I haven't really seen it other places. I think Mark Stein has...
Was it Charlotte and the Grizzlies? Was that the report?
Yeah, I think Mark Stein, who I know Mark, I think he has great sources, but I also think he is very aggressive about putting stuff out that he hears. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if the Grizzlies really like Ty Jerome as a player, but when I game out all the stuff we've been talking about this whole segment about how you do things, I have a hard time fitting Ty Jerome into that unless he's going to sign for that $8.8 million room exception, which I think his market's probably stronger than that. But if not, like, who knows?
Shout out Sam Merrill. Did anybody see that?
Sam Merrill, former Grizzly.
Got $30 million.
They chose Sam Merrill and said, okay, Ty Jerome.
Yeah.
See ya.
I mean, and then Zaire gets a
2 year.
2 year. 12. I think it was 12-year, and I think one for the team.
Yeah, one of those is team option. But hey, you know, $6 million guaranteed money, I'd take it.
I
put the offer sheet in front of me or whatever, I'll sign it.
Is Roddy still in the league?
Right. No, Roddy is not.
I mean, I get a certain point.
Yeah.
Chris, we really appreciate it, my man. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington. Again, the piece is over up at the Daily Memphian. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, George and I will also get into a few other news and notes for NBA free agency, plus more from the weekend in sports. We'll discuss that next right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15.
Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Jeffrey Wright, George Ruggiero, hanging out with you here on a Monday morning. We just finished up with Chris Harrington. George, was there anything you wanted to clean up Grizzlies-wise from the transactions possibility? Do you feel like we're set?
I feel like we're pretty well set. It's going to be interesting. I think one note that I picked up on from Chris is using that room exception probably on one of these bigs.
Yeah.
But it is going to be maybe not exactly someone that we look at and say, okay, yeah, they're definitely going to be a long-term starter or rotation player, you know, when everybody gets healthy. I like the sound of Luke Kornet. I think he played really, really well in the playoffs. And that type of experience is something that, you know, we've talked about ad nauseum that this team kind of needs. But I don't know if there's anyone, I don't want to say younger necessarily, but someone that you might be able to get at maybe even a cheaper price. I also like the thought of a De'Ron Sharpe.
Yeah.
I think, weren't the Grizzlies kind of in talks with Brooklyn to pick up Sharpe a year or two ago?
So, didn't De'Ron's from South Carolina. I want to say there was.
And he's only like 24. He's not old.
There was a moment in which I think the Nets came to town and people were asking Sharpe about playing with Ja, and he was very open to the idea. So it's been something that's rumored about. I don't ever really know how far, like
how solidified it was.
Correct. It was something I think that was more speculation than it was necessarily. And I think De'Ron was open to anywhere that was going to guarantee him a job.
That's totally fair. I mean, there were a couple other ones. This goes into some of the stuff that we saw over the weekend as well. Not exactly with Kevon Looney, but I think Looney would actually be a pretty good piece too. But one that kind of stuck out was Orlando not picking up the option on Mo Wagner.
Yeah. Was that the one that when Shams basically laid out like what free agency is? He's like,
Was that
the one where he's like, he could re-sign with the team
or
meet with another team? I was like, yeah, that's free agency.
Let me go back and look. That might have been Wagner. That might have been one of the. No, that was Duncan Robinson.
Duncan Robinson. Okay, yeah.
Which,
it was a Florida guy.
That's Duncan Robinson. I think that actually might end up being one of the more interesting moves there because he seems like such a good fit there in Miami. But it was reported as well with Wagner that Orlando was very interested in bringing him back. But did Mo end up dealing with an injury as well last year? Was it his knee or something?
Yes. But I feel like Mo deals with an injury
every year.
Yeah.
Let me take a look. Because, I mean, that's another one. I think he's not just a good player, but he's also a well-developed.
Well, and we know that like that was a guy that I think when the Grizzlies traded up to get Zaire, I think Mo Wagner was one of the guys. Yeah,
he popped his ACL in December.
Yeah, because they dealt with, like, they were
so beat up.
Yeah, they were having a lot of injuries. Okay, so not to be outdone, the commish snapped his fingers and he told some teams to make some trades. So the Miami Dolphins have traded three-time All-Pro corner Jalen Ramsey and tight end Jonnu Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers in exchange for three-time All-Pro safety Minka Fitzpatrick and a pick swap, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Monday. So all in all, the trade looks like this. The Steelers will get Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith now gets paired with offensive coordinator Arthur Smith for the third time in his career.
I bet he loves that.
They will also, I think Arthur loves Jonnu. I feel like Arthur always figures out a way to use Jonnu.
But does Jonnu love?
I think Jonnu just wants to be able to like play.
That's going to be interesting, though. I mean, him and Pat and Freiermuth.
Well, there's that, but I mean, also, I think part of this might be, hey, we know we got to help out our offensive line. We got to have some chips and whatnot because
Jonnu's a good blocker.
Well, and then on top of that, it's like Rodgers. I feel like he's going to want to get rid of the ball quickly. The way to get rid of the ball quickly is when you have a tight end chip and then just release early. So I don't hate it from that. I'm not quite sure what Ramsey is as a corner right now.
So as someone who has had the not so much joy of having him in the division for the last couple seasons, he's still a very productive corner. Like, he's still someone you want to try and avoid as much as possible. But Minka Fitzpatrick going the other way, I find very interesting.
So I found it interesting about that because I thought part of his whole deal of getting traded to the Steelers was like being done with Miami in general.
Yeah.
And now he goes back to the Dolphins. I thought he was kind of bitter.
Was Fitzpatrick there with the current coaching staff?
Maybe he was a Flores. He was done with Flores.
Very well could have been a Brian Flores situation there. But I mean, if when you look at that Steelers secondary now, even
so we got
without
big play Slay.
Yeah. You've got Slay, you've got
Joey Porter Jr., right?
Yep. Ramsey gonna probably play maybe outside, maybe nickel. They still have Deshaun Elliott, who was really strong for them last year. Thornhill. It should be a really strong defense again, but I am a little concerned about like their front seven.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to re-sign TJ.
Patrick Queen was awesome for them. Same with Highsmith. It should be good. If I'm a Steelers fan, I'm still very concerned about the offensive line.
Very concerned about the offensive line, and also, like, is in the end, like, you've gone through it with Jets. Like, what is this Rodgers experience going to be?
I mean, as much as you can just look at the numbers and say, okay, yeah, you know what? He wasn't that bad last year with the Jets.
Your eyes told you a very different story than the numbers.
Correct.
Like, when you
watch
the Jets, they're like, this is bad. I mean, what, his best game was what, probably that Thursday night game against Houston?
Oh, that was a really good game. I should not say that.
No, it was a tough watch, but I mean, it was like, he played well.
He had a really good game there. The last game of the season was pretty solid. And then there was that Miami loss, that overtime loss. He threw for 340.
Yeah,
But when that's your fourth in a row.
Yeah, and also it's like, I just cannot get the Broncos game out of my mind.
That was just disgusting football all around.
That was beyond disgusting. All right, then the other news out of college football that we got, which is Jake Ratzlaff is planning to transfer from BYU, sources confirmed to ESPN on Sunday. He is facing a suspension after admitting to premarital sex, a violation of the school's honor code that surfaced during his response to a civil lawsuit alleging he raped a woman in 2023. We also had, though, developments on that case because Pete Thamel writes today that the woman who accused BYU quarterback Jake Ratzlaff of sexual assault in a civil suit has withdrawn her civil case, sources tell both Pete Thamel, and Kyle Bonagura of ESPN. The paperwork has been filed to end the case. Also, Kyle Bonagura adds the joint motion to dismiss read as follows. The parties, by and through their counsel of record, hereby stipulate, agree, and jointly move the court to dismiss with prejudice upon the merits the plaintiff's complaint against the defendant, with each party to bear his or its own attorney fees. All right, a lot of legal jargon. Basically, lawsuits
move
dismissed.
Yeah.
I assume some money was probably exchanged hands and some NDAs will be signed. But what that means is we now, late in the summer, have a quarterback on the market. And this was a quarterback that played pretty darn well last year Yep. And I think that actually makes the Big 12 a little bit more interesting, because BYU now all of a sudden goes from being a contender to So they got Ryder. They picked up Ryder Lyons.
Who's not going to play
this
year.
But he's not going to play. He's going to go on his mission. And then he will join BYU after his mission.
I could have sworn they had another quarterback on their roster, but I could be mistaken. I thought they had another pickup in the transfer portal. Let me take a look.
All right. I had it pulled up, and then, of course, the ad blocker comes in. All right. So they have McCray Hillstead. And McCray transferred from Utah State.
Did he play last year at Utah State?
Utah State was
not good.
Not good. And then remember they had like the whole coach.
Yeah.
Let's see. McCray. He was an academic All-Mountain West in 2023, played 8 games for the Aggies in 23, completing 59.5% of his passes for 1062, 11 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Looks like he did not play last year.
Hmm.
Also speaks Mandarin, enjoys cool. fishing, hunting, and dirt biking, and he was teammates with Utah corner Smith Snowden, high school teammates. I'm very curious about the Ratzlaff or the Retzlaff part of this.
Where does he end up going, I guess, is the best question.
I don't know, because part of the whole transfer is like, well, I'm going to avoid the suspension, but like, who would be quarterback desperate?
At this point?
Is this someone like Georgia maybe takes a flyer on?
If he goes to Georgia, I mean, does he not step in and start, which I guess would kind of,
I don't know.
Not feel great for Gunner.
But, like, I'm curious about, like, where...
This is who I was looking at. Bachmeier.
From
Stanford.
Yeah, there's another Bachmeier out there.
Tiger and Bear. Bear, I don't think, played last year at Stanford.
I think Hank finally wound up with his 11th year of college football. Never forget, guy went, like, 19 straight games without covering a point spread. So that's something I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on. Where does Ratzlaff wind up?
Because I want to say Tim actually Murray, which I guess for the morning show,
yep. We
can't just call him Tim. Tim Murray, one of our awesome, awesome, awesome company, 2 times a week there on Jeffrey Wright and Company, put out odds updates for BYU after Ratzlaff. Their win total goes down by a full game. Their odds to win the Big 12 go from plus 15 to plus 2,000.
Yep. So from 15-1 to 20-1.
Yep. And then it changes, obviously, a little bit different based on the sports book. And then, the big one, to make the football playoff goes from plus 380 to plus 850. Big swing.
That was a big swing. Tim also let me know yesterday that he was able to bet it before the game had moved down. So let's let's remind everybody, we got Jason and John coming up next. George and I will be back in the saddle from 2 to 4. Jason Munn's going to join us. Then Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock. I want to thank Jeff for being with us. He'll be with us again tomorrow morning, as well as Chris Harrington. If you missed anything, he'll be up on the podcast that will be up shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Jason and John coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.